Bobby Mackey's Music World in Wilder, Kentucky, one of the most haunted bars in America. Until it became Bobby Mackey's in 1978, the location had only known violence and other unsavory activities. It served as a slaughterhouse during the latter half of the 1800s, with a well in the basement that was used improperly to dispose of animal blood and remains. But that well continued to be a structure in all future operations on the property. During the decades of abandonment, after the slaughterhouse shut down in 1890, it is rumored to have become a hotspot for occultists to perform satanic rituals. From the 1930s through the early 1960s, it became several different illegal speakeasies and casinos, most notably Buck Brady's Primrose Club and the Latin Quarter, attracting organized crime. The location became nicknamed the Bloody Bucket, and several businesses came and went between 1961, when the Latin Quarter closed down, and 1973, when it opened as a biker bar. The biker bar carried on the trend of violence until it was shut down in 1977. In 1978, singer Bobby Mackey reopened it as a club focusing on music, line dancing, mechanical bull, and good times. Of course, with the location's long, deadly past, ghosts and legends have made themselves an evil focus. People have been scratched, glass has flown off tables, disembodied voices have been heard, and paranormal evidence has been reported. The more infamous ghosts said to linger in the building are Scott Jackson, Alonzo Wallen, and Johanna Jules. Scott and Alonzo were convicted and hung for killing and decapitating Scott's pregnant girlfriend, Pearl Bailey, in the 1890s. The severed head is rumored to have been thrown down the well, and the reasons for murder range from trying to get rid of the baby to being a ritualistic sacrifice. Johanna is alleged to be the spirit of another pregnant woman, a performer at the Latin Quarter in the 1950s, who killed herself and her father after learning her father murdered her boyfriend, Robert Randall. There may also be a presence of the non-human variety. The former caretaker of Bobby Mackey's, Carl Lawson, claimed to be possessed by a demon, and an exorcism was performed on him inside Bobby Mackey's. He believed the well in the basement had to be a gateway to hell. Over 150 years of bloodshed on and around the property. Over 150 years of stories being passed on. Watering down the truth. Incorporating rumors. And becoming legend. Tonight, we talk to the paranormal investigative team who has an exclusive reign of ghost hunting tours at Bobby Mackey's Music World. About the history, the claims, fact versus fiction, and their experiences with the paranormal. This is the first podcast interview the women of Gatekeeper Paranormal have done.
Share? If so, you can email me at Danny Echo at echopodmedia.com. This is EchoPod Media.
Welcome to Dead Tribe Paranormal. I'm Kelly.
And I'm John.
And we are so excited. Season 2 is in effect. And we have such a big interview. We are interviewing Gatekeeper Paranormal, the official ghost hunting group of Bobby Mackey's.
Oh, so excited.
Yeah, so Bobby Mackey's, of course, one of the most haunted places in America, definitely one of the most haunted bars, TV shows of all sorts. And these, not guys, these girls have full reign of the place. So we're talking girl power. They need one more to make like a Spice Girl. I'm going to join you guys. So we're on with Kim, Angie, Mandy, and Laura. So thanks so much for coming on, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So let's start with whoever wants to jump in first. How did you guys start? Or how did you guys get interested in the paranormal?
Alphabetically,
so it's easier.
Yeah,
there you go. Angie.
So Angie, well, why do you even believe in ghosts?
I got interested probably actually as a teenager, and which I think a lot of people do, you know, when they're kids. You know, just experiencing things that I couldn't explain and, you know, and just having that general overall interest in you know, the spirit world and just everything to do with that. And I do recall, you know, as a kid having some, you know, some experiences that even to this day, I can still remember being as little as 3 years old.
Oh, wow.
So it really, you know, it really stuck with me through the years. And then, you know, probably, I guess about 7, 8, 9 years ago, kind of started doing a little bit of, you know, just little ghost hunting, you know, in some abandoned places. Then Laura and I met at Waverly Hills, and we just kind of took it from there. It's kind of blown up from there.
Was that like a tour at Waverly Hills, or did you guys get in there by yourself?
We actually did a, it was a public investigation, like an overnight 8 hour thing. We were introduced through a mutual friend of my sister-in-law's who knew one of Laura's friends, and, you know, they invited me to go to Waverly Hills, and then Laura, you know, Laura and I just started talking from there, and the rest is history.
Awesome. We talked to a girl a couple months ago in season one. Her name is Mindy, and she did a bunch of those tours, and Waverly Hills was one of the ones she did.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So let's say A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
I guess it's my turn.
Kim would be next.
I'm Kim, and I started having, I had the same with Angie. I had some experiences when I was in high school and kind of fell in love with the paranormal stuff and was kind of doing some stuff on my own, nothing major, and went, like Angie and Laura, Waverly Hills.
Oh, no way.
Wow.
Met the girls, and Mandy, I'm related to, so she was just like, hey, we're looking for somebody else to join the group, and I accepted, so.
Oh.
And you guys don't live, like, right next to each other, right?
No.
Wow.
So you're all in Kentucky?
No, I'm in. Oh, yeah, I'm in Ohio as well. I'm up actually close to Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, wow. Geez. What kind of experiences did you have in high school? Like, did you see something, hear something?
Heard movement, a lot of movement, like somebody moving furniture around. And a friend of mine at the time, well, she's still a friend of mine. We were both downstairs by ourselves, and they had like a, excuse me, they had like a 2-story home, and there was an apartment upstairs, and it was like a bunch of people moving furniture around, and come to find out, nobody was home.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So that was Kim, right?
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Kim.
JKL, Laura.
Okay. I'm Laura. Like everybody else, I can remember being about 5 or 6 years old and having experiences in my grandmother's house, which continued, the entire time she lived there. So pretty much my whole life, I experienced things at her house. And I think it's just something that gets inside you, and then you start to seek it out, you know, when you're old enough to realize that there's other stuff going on out in the world. That's what I did through high school. And then when I got older, just trying to find, spooky old houses or spooky old buildings that I could go poke around in. And that was pretty much my teenage years. As far as doing this, I like Angie told you the story of how we met. We joined another group here in Cincinnati, and then eventually left them and formed our own with Mandy, who I used to work with. Mm-hmm. And that's how I met her.
Interesting.
Cool.
So you didn't meet her at Waverly Hills?
No.
Okay.
Nice. And Angie, just real quick, because we skipped. So your stories, what were the couple things that happened to you when you were younger that made you believe in ghosts?
I can remember, I probably had to have been about 3 years old, spending the night with a neighbor. We lived in Cincinnati, spending the night with a neighbor, and I remember sleeping in this bed, and I woke up, something was grabbing my feet, like tickling my feet.
No.
And I woke up, and I remember seeing this little kid. I can't remember if it was a boy or girl. I just remember it was a kid, my 3-year-old brain trying to wrap itself around what I was seeing.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Just like a little kid was standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember waking up, trying to wake up the little girl's mother that I was staying the night with. And she just kind of is like, just ignore it and go back to bed. And that was all that was ever said of it. And that stuck with me through all these years. I remember that vividly. The theory is that younger kids, children are more open to, to seeing those things. And I really, I think that I saw something.
Wow. I think we've all.
Hey, can I tell you a spooky story?
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
sure.
Yeah.
Who's this?
This is Laura again, Laura. But about my grandmother's house. It's just something I always tell people this. Like I said, her house, always weird things happening in there. But one thing I remember happening a lot when I was a child is the bed wouldn't, levitate or fly off the ground, but it would kind of bump, almost like there was a big dog underneath it that kind of, maybe moved, and it kind of just bumped up.
Mm.
And yep. That happened several times. And so I was half like terrified to spend the night with her, but also excited because I never knew if that was going to happen. But it was, I remember that, and I was little. I didn't really understand why it was happening, and it scared me. But like I said, it was exciting at the same time.
Wow.
That's a future ghost hunter.
Yeah.
Scare me more and more and more. Oh, man. So there's like literally like an invisible monster under your bed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, grandma's house. So, okay, so you all met in your certain ways and everything. But so how did, Mandy, how did you like officially start Gatekeeper?
Well, actually, Angie and Laura and I were the co-founders. Like Laura said, we'd met each other through work, and then I actually met Angie and Tanya, who's not on the call, at Waverly, like Kim met everybody else and everybody else met everybody else. So that was the first time I met those two. That was actually, we were on another 8-hour overnight private tour. So that was my first Waverly experience. Pretty cool. So, they weren't real happy with the group they were in, and, we just decided to form our own. And not very long after we formed our own, we actually got involved with Mackie's, and it's kind of kept us pretty busy ever since.
I would assume so, but that's kind of the story I want to get into. How did you guys end up being the group at Bobby Mackie's? And I believe whoever I was speaking to online was saying that you do the tours, right? You run the tours?
We do, yes.
Okay, so how did that all come about?
That's all Angie. Angie's the one who got us hooked up with that.
Wow.
So she can tell you that.
Go ahead, Angie.
Well, previously, and you guys may have heard of this lady, Wanda Kay. Wanda Kay used to be an employee of Bobby Mackey's. She would do the, you know, the tours, and she was also the DJ and things like that, or the bar. So, she, you know, she's been on these shows, the Ghost Adventures and all of that stuff. So, but during, I think it was 2 years ago or almost 2 years ago, she had some kind of an experience with Bobby Mackey's in which she actually resigned.
Oh.
So when she resigned, you know, I looked at that as, you know, an opportunity for us to get in there. Laura and I had already, you know, investigated this place, you know, several times with the other group that we were involved with. So we knew this building and we knew the stories and, you know, so I used that experience to kind of get us, you know, an entrance in there. So I emailed the owners, Denise and Bobby, and we met them with, you know, had a little interview with them, sort of like an audition. And that's pretty much how it started.
Now, how long ago was that?
Well, it's almost 2 years, I guess.
Yeah, is it two? About two. Yeah, almost two.
What kinds of things did they ask you before, like, deciding on you?
Right. Gosh, I don't even remember. I know she liked our name. That's one thing I think.
Well, that'll do it.
How did you come up with the name?
I don't really remember, other than, you know, just us basically talking and letting them know, hey, you know, we're probably going to be the best group to do this, only because we do have this much experience with the building and the knowledge of, you know, the stories and everything that's involved with it. You know, you basically, you can trust us. We'll take over everything for you, because I'm sure at that time Denise was doing all of it herself. Wow. And for one person to run all of those tours, right, that is a huge, huge responsibility.
Is there tours every day?
There can be, yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Sunday through Thursday.
Well, when they're
both. Oh, okay.
So how did you come up with Gatekeeper Paranormal anyway, the name?
Mandy watches Ghostbusters too much.
There's nothing wrong with
no,
that.
I, no, such thing is too much.
No, I've always been fascinated with other cultures. The ideology of a gatekeeper, and that's kind of just, I thought it'd be a cool name, and everybody agreed with me, so we took it.
It sounds cool to me, Mandy.
Sweet. So when you guys met, was it because you guys were, like, broken off into your own little groups at Waverly Hills? Like, because I just heard, learned, like, they break, like, sometimes there's, like, 50 people on the tour, and they'll break you up into, like, groups of, like, 10 or 15 or something?
When we did it, it was just us. Just us.
Yeah, we did a private overnight.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Cool. All right. Now, so you're at Bobby Mackey's. So can you give us and everybody listening the history of Bobby Mackey's? Everyone knows a little bit, but I mean, what's been there? Why is it even haunted and all that?
Why is it haunted? I don't think we can tell you that.
Not like why to go.
There's some theories on it, but
that's what I mean.
Why are you there? That's a hard question.
So, like, before it was Bobby Mackey's, it was a couple other bars and a slaughterhouse. Can you go over that history?
Yeah. Who wants to talk?
You.
Yeah, you're the history buff.
Know your role. We all were.
All right. So basically, you're starting back Civil War era time. There is said to be some kind of a bunker or something along those lines on the property. Of course, we can't substantiate that, but it's part of the tour that I give. Of course, you know, I can't prove that it was ever there, but there are structures there that are pretty old. One of the structures that was said to be there was a slaughterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly the well that's in the basement was where they dumped the excess animal parts and the blood and all that stuff, and it washed out into the Licking River, which is behind the building. after the slaughterhouse, it was a whiskey distillery. After that, it was the Bluegrass Inn or possibly the Beacon Inn. We're not sure which. I've actually come across two different listings for that particular property. So it was some kind of an inn. Following that was the distillery part ended when Prohibition set in, and then it became the end. So there was a lot of bootlegging and stuff going on. After that, it was the Primrose Country Club, which Buck Brady, who said to had ties to the mob, owned. Mm-hmm. Him and his son turned it into a nice little sit down type, you know, restaurant. After that, it became the Latin Quarter, and this is where the mob kind of really comes in and takes over the place. They actually ended up pushing Brady out. He went down to Florida, and they pretty much owned that building. And Wilder, which is right by Newport and Covington and Cincinnati, during that time, the mob, the Cleveland Syndicate, they pretty much owned the entire area. So all mob ran. And of course, they had a illegal casino. That was the big thing that in the area was the gaming. The illegal gaming operations going on.
Well, wasn't there, after the slaughterhouse, a story that I heard, and I'm not sure if this is true, again, it could be just a rumor floating around, is that the building was empty for a little while, and a satanic cult was in there, and they, I know, go ahead and laugh, but that's what I'm hearing. But then they were...
is part of the rumor, but okay. We've never found anything
gotcha.
To prove that it ever existed, and that's kind of where the Pearl Bryan story ties into as well, with the two people who killed her and cut her head off and supposedly threw it down the well, which
I remember hearing that, but
I mean, could it have happened? Sure, but we can't prove it, so we don't, you know, being our actual investigative group, we're not going to say something happened if we can't prove it.
Exactly.
But it could have happened, absolutely, but we can't say for sure that it did. I think we kind of lean more towards we don't think it actually happened. But, you know, it's part of the folklore. You know, this building's got a lot of history, and mm-hmm. a lot of bad things have happened there, and actually a lot of bad things have happened in the area. It's just a very, very strange area. A lot mm-hmm. of tragedy has happened, you know, within a 6 or 7 mile radius.
And it's on it's like located right next to a train track too, right? And I heard that there...
It is, yeah.
And I actually, now again, this is a rumor. I'm just floating it out there because I did hear it, that there was a train accident. A bunch of people had passed away, and they're thinking that some of the people that were on the train, I don't know.
I've never heard the train.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Ooh, we brought something new into it.
Yeah, you know how you tell one person a story, and by the 50th person gets...
Oh, sure.
I think what that's probably referring to could be the bridge collapse during the construction of a bridge connecting Newport and Covington. It did collapse, in which it killed a lot of the workers.
There was like 43, I think.
Wow. Oh, wow. So yeah. That's probably exactly what it was then.
And upon death, they were like, we need a drink. Let's go to that place that's going to be Bobby Mackey.
So like Mandy said, in that general area, there's been a lot of, you know, tragic things happen. You know, mm-hmm. there's the bridge collapse. And then, you know, there was an explosion on the property. You know, there's been fires there. I mean, it was actually at one point, I think, Mandy, wasn't it called like Gallows Gap back in during the Civil War time?
Yeah, they had a lot of actually the property that Bobby sits on was called Gallows Gap because they had quite a few illegal hangings and lynchings back then. So some of the stories that I've heard were that way back then people didn't even like to come by the property because supposedly they were seeing apparitions and hearing disembodied voices and screams and things of that nature. So it kind of seems like there's been paranormal activity going on around that property for quite a while.
So isn't there another story about a girl named Joanna?
Johanna. Yeah. She's one of our famous resident ghosts, I guess. Somebody else want to tell a story? I feel like I'm talking all the time.
That's okay.
Kim, you want
to? Super fun. Yeah, Kim, jump in.
Jump. Okay. Johanna was supposedly a Latin Quarter dancer. And her father, I'm not quite sure where her father came into it. He was supposedly somebody who helped run the building. She was in love with a guy by the name of Robert Randall. Mm-hmm. And her father didn't approve. And she and found a bloody shirt and knew her father had killed him and in the process poisoned her father and then poisoned herself.
Oh my gosh. Mm. And now you guys laughed when I said the name, but obviously you've come across her or you think you've come across her. during investigations?
Well, we've actually got several different female entities on our EVP recordings, and also as well as males. Mm-hmm. So there are female and male entities there. They just don't ever tell us their names, so I can't, don't know who we're talking to, of course. Mm-hmm. But there are definitely males and females there, at any given time.
Anything ever
happen? Some of them are like Laura.
anything ever happen in there that made you want to just run out?
All the time.
Oh yeah.
All right. Now why don't we tell stories about that?
Well, actually, let's start with so when it comes to Bobby Mackey's, I mean, we're not maybe not sure about every single thing it's ever been, but so what year does it become Bobby Mackey's? Tell us how, why, what Bobby Mackey's is all about.
Well, Bobby bought it in 78, and he's all about the music. He's a very nice guy, very down to earth, but he doesn't care about any of this ghost business. He's all about the music. Bars open every Friday and Saturday, and his band gets up and plays live every Friday and Saturdays. And he obviously has to sit down and do interviews about, the ghosts and everything, because it's a huge part of what Bobby Mackey's is. But him personally, he is all about his music. He's actually really good. I enjoy listening to him.
And so are there claims of deaths there? I mean, because 1978, now it's 2016. Some of the ghosts that are said to be there, are they a result of anything that has happened since it's been Bobby Mackey's?
There was one that I know of, one death in the building, where a lady actually died on the dance floor when the bar was open.
Gosh. How? Do you know?
I think probably a heart attack. I don't know for sure.
Yeah. Well, I can't dance.
But that's just.
Neither can a lot of the others. So.
You
would
That's awesome.
Act like you're line dancing and you know what you're doing, and you'll be fine.
Just throw the hands in the air. Right? And
that's what they say at Zumba class that I'm taking.
I'm really good when the floor is crowded.
There you go. I look awesome in strobe light. Yeah. So what year did you guys start being the resident ghost hunting group?
2014.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Just last couple years. So, yeah. All right. Like John said, let's tell some ghost stories.
I want to dig into these stories now.
What are some things that have happened to you guys while you were there? And
well, it's kind of funny. The very first night that we were there together as a group, very soon after, they decided to go ahead and give us the gig and let us take over. We were walking around the building with Denise, Bobby's wife, and we were down in the basement. And this was one of the very first things that we experienced as a group down in the basement in the well room, kind of just sitting around talking, and Kim was sitting on a metal chair or sitting next to a metal chair. And, Kim, you want to go ahead and.
I was sitting on the metal chair and nobody was moving. The lights were all on. We're all just listening to Matt was there also, who's the head of security. Yeah. And he was telling some stories or whatnot, and a pebble flies over and hits my chair and bounces on the floor.
So you can hear, the little ding, from where you're hitting the metal. And, we all turn and look at Kim,
I was like, that wasn't me.
and that was the first night?
That was the very first time, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that we were there all together as a group and that happened.
Anything
that
on video?
That kind of set the tone for Kim's tours.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably have the most stuff being thrown.
Big stuff? Like what?
Uh-oh.
Well, I've had the pebble thrown in my direction twice. It happened that obviously the first time we were in the building. And then again, October 2014, I had three gentlemen on my tour, and we were in the well room. Nothing really happened a whole lot upstairs in the main bar. Went down to the basement, was in the well room, had a pebble thrown in my direction again from the jail cell area. Walked out into the main part of the basement, and it was like somebody had thrown a beer bottle down the chute and landed in a barrel of, because it's broken glass.
Mm-hmm.
It was the loudest crash.
Oh my gosh. And you must have jumped.
It caught us all off guard. And I actually, and there's video of it. And I actually said out loud, I'm like, okay, that just happened, right? Because I wanted to make sure it wasn't just in my head.
Yeah, right.
And looked around, couldn't figure out where it was coming from. The guys went into the dressing rooms to do a little EVP session. And I'm still standing out in the main part of the basement by myself. And as soon as they finished up, it was like somebody had picked up a piece of glass and threw it at a beer bottle. Wow. And he didn't have he didn't have the video camera running at the time.
Oh,
and yeah, as soon as we heard it, he was just like, I didn't have my camera on. So he was a little unnerved. And when we were in the room of faces, he was actually complaining of his arm, and he was right next to me the entire time. On the 2 hours, we don't leave anybody alone. And so there was no provoking going on, none of that. And he was a little bit unnerved. So I said, are you ready to head back upstairs? And he said, yeah, I think we should. So on the way out of the basement, we got right next to the creepy room that Mandy can't stand. And I said, well, we're going to leave you alone now. And no sooner than got it out of my mouth, and there was the loudest bang coming from there's a storage room door. And I immediately took my flashlight over to that area, and no, we couldn't find anything that would make that noise. So after we got outside, the kid had actually been scratched.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Does that happen a lot?
A lot.
A lot. Yeah.
Wow.
Like all different parts of everyone's body, or is it like mostly arms, backs?
His was the arm. I've had somebody scratched on the back of their neck.
I've had people scratched on their legs and their back and their arms. Yeah.
Wow. I can't wait to go back.
Is it like the typical like 3 scratch marks or?
His was. You know,
it really is. I know, you know, that sounds kind of cliche. Oh, yeah. You know, it's 3, but it really is 3. Every scratch that I've seen, well, I take that back. There was one picture that I seen from the actual bartender the night the bar was open. Tanya, you know, she's tending bar, and all of a sudden her arm is, you know, she says her arm is burning, and she looks down and there's all of these scratches all over her arm. You know, she took pictures of it and showed them to me. I think she may have even showed them to the other girls, but, you know, it was like someone just literally just sat there and just clawed at her, you know, a bunch of times. So,
and she's still,
but yeah,
she still loves working there.
She's been there for years. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Stick it out.
That's a heck of a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. She's scratched. She's been scratched through her jeans, through her pant legs. And she showed that. So she took pictures of those as well. When she went home that night, of course, undressing, she noticed these scratch marks going up her thighs. And yeah, there were 3 of them.
And she's also had like bruises that look like fingers, like someone grabbed her really hard. She's had marks like that, too.
Is there a lot of turnover in employees there?
I don't think so.
It doesn't seem like it.
Well, I guess they're just... I love, yeah. I mean, I guess they just love the paranormal.
Finger tips, big tips. <Yeah. laughs> Oh,
well, but I'll tell you something. If you know the story about Carl Lawson, and really, if you talk to anybody that's worked there, probably even us, there's something about the building that draws you to it, and you don't want to leave.
Oh yeah,
it's just something that you feel like you have to be there, because a lot of times, you know, I don't do tours for a while, and all of a sudden I'll just get this feeling like I need to go back there, and I don't know why, but I just feel like I have to go there for some reason. It's a very odd feeling. It's a drawing to that building.
Do you ever bring things home with you? Meaning, do they ever? Oh, I guess that's a yes.
No, that's just Laura when she doesn't do what she's supposed to do.
Well, yeah. No, I live in a relatively new house. My house is only about 8 or 9 years old. There's no reason to think that it would be haunted. And things really don't happen here, but every once in a while, and it's usually within a week or a few days that I've given a tour, I've heard weird knocking sounds. I've heard something that sounds like a board falling on my hardwood floor. I've heard dog toys squeak. It just really bizarre things. And they'll usually only happen once. And then I take the ghost to Kroger and I tell him to stay there. That's the end of it.
She goes, she goes grocery shopping and then leaves him there.
Wow. That's the best getting rid of a ghost story I've ever heard. New method.
Yep.
So what we do whenever, especially if we're in the basement, but most usually when we walk out of the building, we will usually say, hey guys, you got to stay here. You can't come with us. You can't follow us. You can't follow, you know, the people that are on the tours. Mm-hmm. You know, it's basically you're forbidden.
The people that you take tour, do they ever call you after and say, listen, I don't know what's going on, but ever since I was there, I mean, things have been happening.
Kim's guy.
I had one right before Christmas who was texting me, blowing up my phone the next day because she thought something had followed her to she flew to LA after our tour, and she was so freaked out she actually went and saw a priest.
Oh my God. Why? What happened to her?
She just said she felt like she had something was attacking her energy, and she just felt like she was being mildly possessed. And
oh Jesus.
You know, she also admitted that she didn't do our very simple ritual that I told her to do and she'd forgotten to do. So,
oh no.
You know.
What is it, a little chant?
Whether you believe it or not, it's exactly what Angie said. You know, you got to stay here. You can't come with
us.
It. Very simple, very to the point, and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey,
I've never bought.
If I give you guys a few names, will you tell them they can go to their house?
Yeah, that might create some bad karma.
Maybe the ex-wife or something.
It'll probably backfire and end up going to you.
Right? Worth it? Again, you got to balance it.
Yeah. I have something.
We don't have voodoo dolls.
Yeah. I have something with me now. I'm all set.
He doesn't need backy ghosts. So, you know, the people going on the tours, I'm sure you have a mix, you know, some total skeptics and some people who are like super duper believers. Do you get a lot of people saying that they're having experiences that you're ever like, it's probably actually not happening right now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People's imagination run wild.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. It's got to hit that like awkward point, you know? I mean, they're probably taking a picture of something that's nothing, and you don't want to be like, yes, yes, you're right, that's a ghost.
And in that place, it's so easy to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you handle it?
Well, some people want it so bad. Some people just want it to happen so bad, and a lot of people get upset if nothing happens, but as you probably know, you can't force these ghosts to perform.
Mm-hmm.
And so any little noise that they hear, you know, they're jumping on it and looking at me, saying, you know, what was that? Was that, you know, is that Johanna? You know,
yeah, they want validation.
Yeah. So.
What is your favorite piece of equipment to use inside Bobby Mackey's?
Mine's the K2.
Old school.
Old school. I get so many hits on it, especially in the basement. And here recently, it's been going all kinds of haywire down there.
Kim and I actually had a really cool experience with the K2 a couple weeks ago with a guy. It was just the three of us down there. And this was, he did a tour with me Sunday night, and they came back and did a tour with Kim Monday night. And we were in the Wall of Faces room. And he said that the entire day he had been thinking of Hank Williams and that song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. So when we got down to the basement, we had the K2 sitting on one of the little tables that's down there, and he started playing that song, and then the K2 was hitting, but I happened to notice that it was hitting to the beat of the song. And of course, you know, I played a different song and nothing happened. So that was probably that's probably one of the neatest things I've seen happen there.
That's cool.
But, you know,
it really
we don't
was
do
neat.
Real fancy stuff.
Yeah, I think one of my
favorite...
That whole
night was actually weird. Go ahead, Ann.
I just think my favorite piece of equipment is just your digital recorder, you know?
Yeah, mine too.
DVDs.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun to play with the little gadgets and stuff like that. Yeah. But I just think, you know, getting those EVPs is pretty exciting. I think one of the better EVPs that we've ever caught there, about a year and a half ago, we were going to do our own investigation of the building, as we periodically do, just to kind of stay up on our evidence. So we went down to the basement as a group, and we were going to go out and take some group pictures first. So we always walk into the basement, usually together. And I took my digital recorder into the well room, and I laid it down on a shelf right next to the doorway. And you can actually hear us walk out of the room. We walk out of the building, you know, and you can hear our voices fade away as we're walking further away from the building. And within a minute and a half, we get this EVP. It's very clear. You didn't have to manipulate it in any way, just turn up the volume. But you can hear the female voice in a whisper say something like, she does not want them down here.
Oh.
And that was the only thing on that recorder for the next hour and a half. And that was with, like I said, a minute and a half after we walked out of the building.
Oh, wow. That's actually pretty neat.
Yeah. Very clear, too.
That's on our YouTube channel, actually.
Yeah, I just put that one up on our YouTube page.
Oh,
so.
Check it out.
Yeah, it's very clear. You don't have to edit it. You just turn the volume up and listen, of course, you know, with your earphones is much easier.
Now, do you guys have basically free reign of the place whenever you want to go? If you can't sleep at night, you can say, hey, we're going to go down to Bobby Mackey's.
Pretty much,
yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Did I ever tell you how much I love you guys? I'll be in Kentucky in a couple months.
We each have our own key. Yeah, the owners have been very nice. Bobby and Denise have been really great to us. They've entrusted us with their building, with, you know, that's their business, that's their livelihood, and they have, you know, trusted us with that, and you know, they've been really good to us. We're very fortunate.
Yeah. Wow. Road trip.
Yeah, I'm thinking so. If we run out of gas money, I can bartend. So they take us through a tour. So when people come down, what do you do? What are some of the stories you tell? What do you guys do with them? And what things, if any, are they allowed to do on their own?
Well, I base my two-hour tours kind of on the people I'm giving the tour to, because some of them really don't know anything about the building or any of the stories. So I kind of, you know, I probably will end up talking more of the 2 hours. Some people really just want to investigate. So I basically kind of just go through a quick tour, and I'm usually done talking within a half an hour. And then I give them, you know, a little bit of free rein to kind of roam around the main floor. And then we all go down to the basement as a group. So I cater mine to who I'm giving the tour to. It just depends on what specifically they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too.
Do they bring their own equipment, or do you supply it?
Some do.
Most people do. And I think we've had a couple requests for us to bring our own equipment for them to use. So it just, yeah, if they request it, we'll bring some.
So any evidence that's captured there, can they keep it, or is it strictly yours?
Oh, it's theirs.
We ask them to share it, but yeah, I mean, we don't say you got to give it to us.
Yeah.
But we give them.
We own that.
we actually encourage it, you know, hey guys, why don't you, even if it's just a cell phone and you turn on your voice recorder from, you know, on your smartphone, use that and take it home, and you would be surprised what you are going to find.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage people to do it. And like Mandy said, we do ask them to share, and with their permission, we'll post it on Facebook or our website, you know, just for everybody else to get to experience it.
Nice.
But you would be surprised at the number of people, or maybe you wouldn't be surprised that come, at least on my tours, maybe I just get them, that have no equipment. And,
yeah,
you know, they're the ones that you kind of feel like you really have to, you know, talk nonstop for 2 hours and hope that the ghosts put on a show for them, because they come without anything and they're kind of just wanting, you know, the thrill of something to jump out and say boo.
Right.
Well, and I've noticed on a lot of my tours, more stuff happens when you're not paying attention to it. So if we're sitting there talking and just not like loudly, just, you know, among ourselves or whatever, you'll hear stuff in the distance. Or we've been standing on the dance floor and standing still, and something will be walking all around us on the dance floor.
Oh, wow. So when are the tours? You said Monday through Thursday. Is that during the day and then the bars open at night or vice versa?
No, the bars only open on Friday and Saturday.
Oh, okay. So you can do the tours Monday through Thursday, day and or night?
Sunday through Thursday, but
Sunday through Thursday.
Oh, Sunday even.
They're by appointment only.
Gotcha. Is it really backed up? Are we like months out now?
No.
This time of year is kind of slow. So if anybody wants to come take a tour.
Yeah. The winter months gets kind of slow. Yeah. It's a little cold in the building. Honestly, it's freezing.
So you guys all have jobs like outside of this then? This isn't your main thing?
Correct.
Right.
I wish it was our main thing.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind this being our main thing. So what are some really like cool stories or evidence that the customers, I guess, that the participants have had?
They've been touched.
Scratched.
Touched.
Yeah. Not that long ago, a couple of months ago, I had a group, two guys probably in their mid to late 20s or so. And it had been pretty quiet during the tour. We've gone down to the basement and we were standing in front of the well in the well room. The lights were out. And as we're sitting there talking, I all of a sudden heard this very loud popping noise. It was almost like, an electrical sound, like if when a light bulb blows or a sudden surge of electricity and maybe in an outlet. And I immediately turned my flashlight on and looked up at the light socket because it sounded like the actual light bulb exploded.
Wow.
And there was nothing wrong with the light bulb. Everything was working fine. So we turned on the lights and I got to looking around. There was actually two big separate chunks of different glass. There was one big chunk of an actual, the bottom of a beer bottle.
Huh.
And the other piece was the top of a ceramic lid to some type of a dish. And it was just a big chunk. And you could, it was like something just threw it against the wall and you could hear it shatter. It was very loud. And let me tell you, these guys freaked. they were like kind of running around the room a little bit, you know, kind of skitzing out. And you know, I told them just kind of, you know, let's chill. Let's just kind of watch and see what happens. At first I was kind of suspicious thinking maybe it had been them, but they never had the opportunity to get away from me to where I couldn't see where they were at all times for them to even pick up a piece of glass like that. So
the chunk that you have is something that nobody knows about anyway. It's a part of the teapot from the Latin Quarter that are locked up that nobody knows where they are.
God. Has any of the customers tried to fool everybody in the group and done like stupid stuff?
Yeah, you get people.
Like what kind of things have they done?
I've had one idiot jump in the well.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I wish it would have sucked him in.
Right? How deep? How deep is the well?
It's partially filled in, so it's probably, what would you say, 3 foot deep maybe?
Wow.
I don't think it's that deep. No.
Yeah.
What's down in there now? Just rocks?
Dirt.
Dirt.
And flowers and money.
Yeah,
it's a wishing well.
Wishing well. Well, that's how you can get your ex-wife.
Oh,
go down
Satan,
there.
Please visit me. Wow.
So do you guys think the well is a portal? People love to say that if there's like a hole in any building, that's the portal to hell.
Well, I think that...
That's the demon portal, yeah, how they get in.
I think that was from the episode of Ghost Adventures where Zach kind of called it the portal to hell. And maybe that's probably where that came from.
Yeah. I don't think the well is a portal. I even hate to use that word.
Me too.
But if I was ever going to say that any place was a portal, I don't think it would be the well, but maybe just the entire building.
Yeah.
You know, because something is drawing energy there, you know, and I don't even think it's people that have necessarily died in that building or have a connection to that building. I think that it's almost like a way station, you know, and things just pass through there. We get such random EVPs and things happening.
Mm-hmm. It's next to the train tracks. They're getting on a train to heaven.
They might be. Yeah.
Be.
You guys can go ahead and use that. Oh, by the way.
Yeah. Or the train to hell.
Or the train to hell. Yeah.
All aboard! Nope, not you. Yours is the next one.
It sounds more fun.
Right. So, do you think all the ghosts are human, or do you think there's some demonic activity going on in there?
No.
We don't think there's... Well, we're not into the whole demon thing. Mm-hmm. There are some negative entities in there, one particularly in the basement. But demon-wise, I don't know if I just don't like that word, but, you know, I don't know, lower vibrating things, just things that aren't necessarily super nice, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Hey, now, you guys weren't there when they did the Ghost Adventures episode there.
No.
Okay. Nope.
But I know I forgot who I was talking to earlier. I apologize, but I still love you guys. Nick just did a tour there.
He did back in February.
February last year, yeah.
Last year, yeah. Because he went off on his own. Now, yes. Were you guys part of the tour group going through there, or was it just strictly him and his crew?
No, we made sure we were there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But he... Actually, he had quite a crowd. He had quite a crowd. No, not for that reason.
Oh, okay.
All of a sudden, I'm so scared.
Hold me.
I've been doing it for a year now, but take off your shirt.
All right,
we are very territorial when it comes to Bobby Mackey.
That is our place. So we're not letting some other people come in there and stake our claim.
There's
so
no one walking in there going, "Don't you know who I am?"
Yeah. No. So did people on his tour, did they experience anything?
They said they did, yeah.
I heard they were some EVPs.
It must be really tough, though, when you're walking 50 people through the building at once and you hear footsteps.
I think broke them up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he split them in half. But I'll tell you something. I mean, we're in that building a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We give tours a lot, and there are times that, you know, absolutely nothing happens. You know, it happens anywhere, that it's just quiet.
Yeah.
But the very first time, because Nick went down in the basement a couple of times on his tour, the very first time he went down there, within 5 minutes, he got an EVP that said his name.
Oh, well, he had been there a couple times before, I believe, too.
I know. You're not having it. We're there all the time, and nobody says our name.
Yeah, but we're there all the time.
I know.
Never said our name.
Right.
Well, that's probably a female in his defense.
It was, actually.
Yeah, of course.
There you go.
It was.
They have more reasons.
Of course it was.
There wasn't any like, "Hey, bro." It was just like, "Nick."
Yeah. Hey, bro.
My theory with that, though, honestly, both their names, like from Ghost Adventures, like the names are Zach and Nick, and it's one syllable and it ends with a K. I mean, so. Like, that's a sound. It's not a name.
So here's a question we ask everybody. Now, have you ever used an ecto containment unit?
like Scooby-Doo or Ghostbusters? Or
yes. Like Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
Slimer.
No.
What was that line? I'm the gatekeeper and you're the...
I'm the key master.
You're the key master.
That's right.
Well,
no, I actually went back and watched that movie again, and that's... What they did is actually really mean, if you think about it. They're trapping those poor spirits.
Yeah, just leave them alone.
Just letting them...
I agree with you. I mean, I've thrown that movie out because of that reason.
Oh, God.
Yeah, leave them alone.
I would catch the library ghost because that scene just scared the hell out of me. Although, I was so little when that movie
came out. Have you ever heard anybody say they want to get scratched? I mean, I almost wish.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Oh, yeah. Tell us some, like, provoking stories. Yeah, you must get that all the time.
You don't let that happen, do you?
No.
We not to, but they still do because they're stupid.
Yeah, you can't jump on their, like, face and cover their mouth. I guess you could.
My first one was I had a guy. There was a couple people in the group I was doing, and he, have you guys heard of Mansfield Reformatory?
Yes.
Up in Ohio. He was actually a prisoner there, and then after it closed, he became one of the tour guides for the ghost concert there. So we were up in Carl's room, and his camera took a picture by itself, and then it shut off. And, of course, he said some explicitives, and I kind of yelled at him and made him apologize because, you know, I'm not messing with that stuff.
Yeah.
But as we were walking back downstairs, we getting ready to go outside and go to the basement. He got smacked on the back of the head and had a really long scratch going down his neck.
Oh, wow.
We always tell people not to provoke. And then, you know, the people, you know, for the 5 hours and stuff, we don't stay with them. So obviously we can't control what they do. But sometimes when crazy things happen, they'll come back and say, yeah, I kind of did this. And I'm like, well, I told you not to do it, but so that's you.
Yeah.
Just tell them that you know, they're probably going to be possessed within a week after they provoke. You know, just scare them. Maybe they'll stop doing it.
Try that next time just to get their reaction.
Yeah, you guys, any ideas I come up with, you go ahead and use them.
You're going to be the next honorary member. Yeah, yeah.
But when I come to Kentucky, remember me, please.
Will do.
What are some of the things you guys try to do regularly to get responses, whether it's on your own or with the tour?
Well,
we just talk to them.
I talk to them like they're human.
But you must be asking like the same stuff over and over and over again, right?
Well, yeah, you do that. I
mean, yeah.
Like Kim said earlier, one of the best ways that we get evidence is by ignoring them. We just start talking about nothing in particular, and it's almost like they're kids and they want to get our attention, so they get our attention.
Start throwing pebbles.
Yeah, yep.
There you go. Throw pebbles, you know, banging on the walls, and a lot
I
of stuff.
I have to say,
it is. Go ahead.
I have to say that I'm maybe more of a provoker of the group. I don't.
She is.
I would agree with that.
I hope you enjoyed your time with the group.
I'm really forcefully provoking or anything like that. I just kind of get a little boisterous and more demanding with it, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sometimes might throw out a bad word or two here and there.
Oh, boy.
You know, just trying to get a response. But I try not to be too disrespectful because I think that these are just, you know, these people, they used to be human. They still have those human emotions and, you know, they're probably pissed off or sorry if I can say that, but they're probably, they're mad that we're there, you know, first of all, you know, bugging them, you know, there's always somebody there trying to get their attention. You know, they're just wanting probably to be left alone or some of them may want that attention and, you know, but I just, you know, I feel they have human emotions still, even in death. And, you know, you got to treat them like such.
Humans with no heartbeat.
Right.
Yeah.
Very profound.
Now, there's a river right next to Bobby Mackey's too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's a Licking River. It flows north.
Yeah. So a lot of people say that the flowing water also.
It's like a conduit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things actually on that property that,
like
what?
I mean, it's on a fault line, limestone.
Oh my gosh!
Railroad tracks, water. It's kind of the makeshift place for paranormal.
Yeah, really. Yeah, so. Quadruple threat.
Yeah, that's why I said I feel like it's kind of a way station. I think that energy, spirit energy, whatever you want to call it, is drawn to that location from who knows where.
It's like, a little gathering place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys take a lot of flack from people ever actually saying things to you like, leave the ghost alone, you're there every day, you're exploiting them, you know? I mean, there's haters everywhere.
Yeah.
Only from my mom. Yeah, I don't think we've ever really had any negative feedback from people. You know, most people are just, you know, want to know what's the craziest thing that's ever happened to us.
And, yeah.
Or how can we be so crazy to go down there and investigate time after time?
You mean kind of like the questions we've been asking?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah, great. Yeah. Great. We thought we were different.
Oh, you are completely. This is totally original.
We're doing it with microphones.
But you do also get some people who get, they're so spiritual and they're like, oh, I would never step foot in that building. It's full of demons and you'll go to hell and, you know, you'll get possessed. And, you know, you do have people who are like that. And it's, you know, we try to explain to people it's not all that you think it is. It's not that, you know, you walk in the building and there's poltergeists, you know, throwing tables and chairs and beer bottles.
I think they get those ideas from the TV shows, though, because the TV.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the TV shows make it seem like every ghost is a demon.
Right.
Which is actually not true if you get out there. So they're just uneducated, I guess.
Yeah. Has anyone on your tour ever been so spiritual that they're like, I'm picking up on something right now? And then you guys all have to like sit there and stare at them and entertain them like, yeah. Tell me more.
Well, I actually had a Catholic priest a couple of months ago.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was awful.
Really?
That was awful.
Story.
No, it was great. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I wanted to come back.
Oh.
So, story. What happened?
I was kind of surprised that he was even there. You know, I am not Catholic myself, so I'm not very familiar with, you know, Catholicism. So, but I thought priests were not allowed to participate in that kind of stuff without, you know, permission from the Vatican or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he acted like it was no big deal, and so he came in and he did a, you know, 2-hour tour, and really, as soon as he stepped into the building, things started happening that I've never seen happen before. I saw bar lights turn on and off. I actually got an EVP, or he got an EVP up in Carl's apartment of something that sounded like Carl responding to his questions.
Oh, really?
You know, he had some things going on in the basement, man. But there's a ball, and I think every haunted location, if you will, has a ball trying, you know, as a
trigger objects.
Yeah, but this ball really started moving around the floor with none of us around. You know, this priest really got some things to happen. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
Wow, I want to go when he goes.
Now, I don't think we mentioned the apartment upstairs in Carl before. Carl was the caretaker. And he passed away not that long ago.
2012.
2012. So you guys think you're still hearing him up there?
Well, we don't know who it is.
Is it empty now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's. I don't even think they go up there anymore. I think it's just basically us when we do our tours.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
It's not in livable condition at all. It's actually, you know, falling apart. And, you know, there's no way anyone could live there now.
Can you imagine living in that place?
No.
No.
I wouldn't mind visiting, but I'm not sure I'd be able to sleep with a whole bottle of melatonin.
But you know, some of the employees there, they swear by it. They think Carl is still there. They, you know, they hear things, they see things, and it reminds them this is Carl. This is, mm-hmm. you know, what Carl would do or what Carl would say or, you know, smells and things like that. So yeah, they think he's still there.
Do the owners think he's still there?
Oh yeah.
Denise is the one who said she's seen him before.
Oh wow. So how many different rooms are you going through on these tours? There's the basement, the main bar.
And then Carl's
the apartment.
And then Carl's.
Okay, just those three. How big is the place?
It's a lot bigger than you would think it is looking at it from the outside.
Yeah.
The main floor is pretty big. The basement's about, I don't know, maybe a third of the size of the bar floor.
Of the area that you can get into, but there's a lot of area in the basement that you can't get into, so.
Wow.
Hmm. Are there
Now, I don't mean to go back again, but back to Carl. Now, there was another story. Again, these are just rumors, I think, but I'm not sure. I'm gonna ask you guys about a possession and maybe an exorcism with Carl.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is it's on YouTube. You can actually look it up and watch the entire exorcism is on YouTube.
Oh.
And but the interesting thing that to me is it happened back in the early 90s. And I mean, back then there weren't all these ghost shows on TV and, you know, not everybody wanted to be a ghost hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it kind of gives some validity to what was happening to him. Now, whether he was possessed by demons, I don't know, but you know, they did perform an exorcism and in the building in Bobby Mackey's. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn. Do customers come up with a lot of stories too?
Well, they're drunk, so.
Yeah. That's my thinking, though. Like John wants to go, I'll go with you. We'll take a road trip and we want to see something. But, I mean, for most people, I'm sure, you know, it's old news. It's in their town. Like, they're just going because they want to dance and hear music and drink. But, so they might be going kind of like you guys have. You know, they're not there to pay attention to any ghosts. So I wonder if they get targeted sometimes because of that then.
I had a lady on one of my tours that had been going there for, I don't know, 16, 17 years, and she didn't believe any of it. And she said that she was sitting at a table with a group of her friends and was kind of making fun of the whole situation. And she said at that point in time, a glass literally lifted off the table and dumped in her lap.
Oh, my gosh.
Is there surveillance inside the bar?
Yeah.
There is. There is. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So we could have seen if that would have happened.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything in the bathrooms? I know that's a weird question, but like, I don't know. I hear like those stories, like bathrooms sometimes is a scary place where you're like, I have to go to the bathroom myself.
The men's bathroom stuff goes on in there a lot.
Well, if you remember.
During the day or at night, you're talking about?
Anytime.
What's happening to our little men friends?
Well, if you remember Ghost Adventures, the very first time they were there, Nick had an experience in the men's bathroom. He said it started shaking. And what I found interesting about that was Angie had an experience of the building shaking. So, and I hadn't seen that Ghost Adventures episode in years, and I went back and watched it recently. And I remembered, you know, him saying that the bathroom was shaking. So since we've all experienced some form of shaking in that building, it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's on a fault line, though, you said.
That's true. Yeah.
Well,
it's supposed the fault shaking.
Actually is.
What's that?
Right.
Say that one more time. We didn't
the
really pick that up.
The fault line is supposed.
Oh, okay. Oh.
The shaking episode was, I, again, had a two-hour tour with a couple that they come up probably three or four times a year, if not more. And they happened to be there that night, and it was so quiet, and we weren't getting really no activity. And it was the end of their tour, and as I was walking them out the door, I just happened to see Bobby Mackey's promotional manager, or his publicist, if you will, drive by. And I waved, and he kept going, and so the people left, and I walked back to the gift shop to get ready to close the place up for the night. And as I was in the gift shop, I heard very similar to what Kim has experienced before, what sounded like a beer bottle being thrown into either a trash can full of other bottles and it shattered, or it was thrown down the chute, but it was, you know, very loud glass breaking. And I immediately thought, you know, the publicist guy must have come back. And so I poked my head out of the gift shop and yelled for him. And of course, nobody answered. And I just kind of listened and for a few seconds, didn't hear anything. So I kind of ignored it, brushed it, you know, trying to keep my wits together. And I go back into the gift shop, finish up. And as I'm walking back to the security room, the entire building started to shake, and it was shaking so loud that I could actually hear the doors rattling, and you could feel it shaking through the floor. Now, keep in mind that although there are railroad tracks right behind the building, you very rarely get to see the train pass by. It doesn't come by very often. And when it does, I've never felt the building vibrate, you know, from the passing train. I've never felt it. Mm-hmm. I've hardly ever heard it. But the entire building shook. The doors were shaking, and I thought, that has got to be somebody here. There's got to be a live human doing that. And so again, I yelled out, you know, for RJ, and again, no answer. And I immediately started texting him, you know, are you here? Did you keep going? Did you come back and, you know, come into the building? And he said, no, I'm long gone. I'm miles away. There was no one else in that building but me.
The whole building shook?
The whole building started shaking.
So that would probably be the ghost of the Hulk.
That's what I was going to say.
It was very weird. The doors, you could feel the doors, you could hear the doors vibrating, and you can feel the floor vibrating, and it just sounded I know this sounds kind of silly, but if you're watching a scary ghost show and you know how the doors are shaking, you know, because there's a poltergeist that's making all this stuff move.
Right.
It was almost like there was something that was making these doors shake. It was just crazy. And let me tell you, I hightailed it out. I was like really freaked out over that.
Yeah.
Sorry. I probably would have ran too. Edit that out. I would never run, Jim. I don't run.
I would have just shook the building back.
I would have stayed there. I would have asked more questions.
Yeah, I had to close up. I finished up. I had to, you know, keep myself, but I was hurrying. I wasn't, you know, just kind of, this time I was rushing.
Is there any celebrities that ever come down? Maybe a silly question, but, I heard this place is haunted. I wanted to check it out.
Not yet, but they're always welcome to come.
Nope. Well, it might depend on your definition of celebrity.
All right, maybe like 15-minute fame.
Well, I mean, we've had, when the bars open, there have been like Cincinnati Reds baseball players.
Okay, again, I'll read famous people.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all Red Sox fans up here, I'm sorry.
Oh. No, we're not. I'm closer to New York.
We're snobby northerners.
Is there anything coming up like that you want to promote or anything? Any big events?
We're actually going to be taking over the Dark Hours. A radio show once a month. The author, Tressa Gray, likes us, so she's going to let us take over her show for once a month. I don't know if that's a very good idea on her part, but, you know.
That's cool.
We're going to do it and have a good time with it. And
can we crank call?
Yeah, I love crank calls. Keep it on direct line.
We're pretty big. We'll let you interview us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is that an online radio or radio in your town?
It's online.
Wait,
it's fairly new, so it doesn't have a whole lot of publicity with it yet.
Oh, okay. Well, let us help promote.
Now, how do people get a hold of you for the tours?
Well, we do have a Facebook page. You know, it's just Gatekeeper Paranormal on Facebook. If you Google Bobby Mackey's, my name and my phone number will come up, and people just contact me for tours.
And then they can also find you guys on Instagram.
We're in the process of building all of that.
Gotcha.
You know, we're our social media. We are in the process of building all of that up. As time has gone on over, mm-hmm. you know, the past year and a half, we're getting more, I guess, publicity, if you will. You know, getting more requests for radio shows and, you know, public appearances and things like that. So yeah, we are. You know.
That's awesome.
Vamping that up. Yeah.
Do you do any other investigations besides do the tours? I mean, you guys are a group, so.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely.
Is it mostly you know, businesses or is it residential also?
Mostly residential.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Oh, that's lucky.
I mean, didn't like places to pay for.
I'd invite four ladies in my house. My house is extremely haunted.
How far do you travel?
Yeah.
We'll do private residences, you know, we've you know, driven as far as, you know, almost Louisville. I think we've actually maybe gone to Louisville or Lexington.
Lexington, yeah.
Yeah.
Residence.
But when the guy calls up and says, yeah, I live by myself out in this cabin.
Yeah.
And when you guys come investigate, you know.
We're packing.
We're like,
yeah,
hey.
we pack.
There's not much to see up in Connecticut, so if you get any requests.
Has anything really crazy scary happened at any of your regular investigations?
I don't know about crazy scary. I mean, maybe I'm jaded, but I don't really think anything is crazy scary. Mm-hmm. That's not to say I don't jump at things, but.
Did you run out like a girl?
No, not me.
Yes, she does.
Don't let her fool you. Don't let her fool you.
Mixed reviews on that.
you do get your share of people who I think just want to be famous, and they want ghost hunters to come to their house thinking that maybe they're going to get on TV or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those tend to be, you know, nothing happens. But we have had a couple of cases where we have had, you know, things happen that we can't explain. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but you do get your share of people who just want ghost hunters in their house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys. Really appreciate you guys talking to us tonight.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been fun.
And when we get down to Kentucky, don't say, I don't remember you. I don't remember you.
No, never, never.
All right. Thanks again. You guys rock.
Thanks again. Thank you. Gatekeeper on another episode of Dead Tribe Paranormal.
Oh, bye, guys.
Hear the applause?
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Dead Tribe Paranormal. After you're done, please listen to our other podcast, Rock Stories. In this series, we meet with music artists and bands that are out there keeping the scene alive. We capture and share their stories with you, the fans, and use their music as a soundtrack. Also look forward to new shows like Audibly Anonymous, the show where you, the listener, can anonymously share your deepest secrets. Please visit our website at echopodmedia.com and sign up for our email list on the homepage. There's some new kids on the block, the unsigned hip-hop kids. Listen to me and Mateo spin some exclusive new hip-hop tracks and interview the people keeping the scene alive. There's hours of ear candy to feast on, and me and Mateo cracking jokes in between each song. That's Unsigned Hip-Hop under the podcast tab.
Hi, I'm Karen of Readings by Karen. Do you wonder where your life is headed? About work, family, relationships? Now is the time to contact a professional intuitive. I can give you the clarity you deserve to make the tough decisions in your life. Lower your anxieties and call today, 860-665-8024, or visit me on the web at readingsbykaren.com. Call today, 860-665-8024, or readingsbykaren.com. Readings by Karen, what's in your future?